Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet once again where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men.
Amen.
And those who are listening, the only ones other than men would be, well, it could be kids. That'd be a good thing. It could be wives. We have some wives or women that listen in. We call them the stealthy women.
The stealthy women.
Because we don't know if you're really there or not. Yes. Anyway, so in the studio with me today.
Trying to think of something to say.
No, yeah. Jasmine, yeah. I knew exactly what I was going to say.
That was coming.
You knew that was good. CJ in the house with me today. I'm still
You're going to be on that train for a while.
Just for a little bit, because I could ride it for some time. You know, the guys on a Tuesday night, they get a kick out of that, too.
They sure do.
They didn't know that you had a name.
They didn't.
They just had CJ.
Yeah, they thought it was
your
CJ,
initial.
Yeah.
What does CJ mean? It doesn't. Just CJ. Anyway. So Cody Jasmine is here, and we're listening to the studio. Don't say anything more. We're going to let it go as that. Hey, today we're going to be talking about being a shrewd Christian. What does that look like? Does it apply to us? Is that a good thing? Is shrewd mean something not good? Is it a sin being shrewd? Or is it smart being shrewd? I don't know. Is it good or bad? Whatever. Anyway, we're going to talk about that sort of thing. And don't know where we'll end up with it, but hey, God does.
Amen.
So hang on with us and we'll go there. In the meantime, we always like to kind of kick it off with some encouragement for you guys. Because you know what? We always need encouragement. Guys, we always end up falling short of hearing sometimes things that maybe we don't deserve to hear anything good. Maybe that could be part of it. But the fact is that there is hope for us, brother.
Amen.
Because, you know, God created you and I. And so you got something?
Yes, I do. I heard on Pilgrim's Progress something, and it said it was talking about his burn, but you can apply it across the board, prayers being answered. It will happen sooner than you think, but longer than you wish. Sooner than you think, but longer than you wish. So I think we all get to the point when we kind of get frustrated with God sometimes for not answering our prayers. We get impatient with him because it's not happening when we want. But we need to realize that God will not always put us off. He'll bless us when his timing is right. So that's what it comes back to, is it's going to be longer than we want, but it'll be sooner than we think. So it will eventually happen. So
in other words, just relax.
Yes. Keep persevering in prayer. Don't
relax,
get frustrated.
Knowing that he has everything under control, and he does.
Amen.
You know, you're right, though. He just doesn't answer fast enough for us. We said, come on, come on, come on. So, you know, come on. This is something, you know, I've been.
2 days now.
You know, sitting there going, okay, yeah. Or in some cases, 2 hours.
Yeah,
Amen. 2 hours ago, and how come it's not happening yet, you know, type of thing. Well, sometimes that actually gets us into thinking about what it is that we're actually doing. We're coming to the Lord petitioning.
Yeah, amen.
And we're assuming that he's hearing us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an assumption. Because many of us, in the midst of our lives, sometimes those of us who have done this, I may be the only one that's ever had a secret sin.
I think so. And
and in doing so, my Bible tells me in a few places, that God doesn't hear my prayers.
Yeah, amen.
Because of my conscious sin.
Amen.
Now, we're not talking about sin where you accidentally or, you know, not intentionally looked at somebody lustfully or anything, right? But it's all of a sudden, we're talking about the dark.
Well, what it is sin that you, what it is something you know that is wrong, but you enjoy doing it. That's what it comes down. I mean, if you have a problem with lusting you and you go to a beach, that's not accidental sin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going here because I just love the water. There is a beach down the road.
Hey, that's not accidental sin. Yes, okay, yes, that's yeah. That's conscious sin because you know that you're going to enjoy what's going to take place there. So that is when you enjoy sin more, at all, rather than God's word, than prayers,
right.
Hindrances.
And the point being is that when we're in that type of sin, when we're doing that sort of thing, then we come and ask God, say, hey, God, you know, I love you. I praise you and I'm going to follow you. And yet you're not really doing those things. You're just saying it because you want something.
Yeah, it's mouth. It's just a mouthpiece working out. It's not the heart isn't the one doing the work.
It's not in line with.
Amen.
As a result of that, that could keep your prayer request or your petition to God not being heard at all. So you want to make sure that things are kind of
your heart
in
is
line
right.
mm-hmm. with the Lord, okay? Amen. And if it be his will. Now comes the time where to have patience in mm-hmm. a sense of just knowing that I'm giving it to God and I keep giving it to him. And how many times do you need to keep praying? Just keep praying. I don't mm-hmm. know. I use the analogy, you know, when they do demolition on a building that's maybe like 5 stories or 8 stories high, this old building, they're going to tear it down and build mm-hmm. something else,
yep,
right?
Yep.
But it's steel and stuff, so they got to demolish it with mm-hmm. dynamite, in a sense, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They drill hole after hole after hole, and they do it with certain mathematics and everything to figure out what they need to do and everything. But we're the same way. We don't know how many prayers need to be
Amen.
Going up.
Amen.
How many holes need to be filled with a prayer into that request? The Lord knows.
Amen.
You just keep doing it until that thing.
Well, that's
explodes.
What we're told. And the thing is unfortunately, endurance comes from perseverance. I wish He'd just give us endurance without the perseverance sometimes.
Well, you got to learn how to do it so you can pass it on to somebody else.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're all minions, and we don't want to be like a minion.
And the thing is you can never go a full 12 rounds in a boxing match unless you practice first.
Yep.
So to build up the endurance. So,
do you remember when you first boxed? Yeah, not knowing it, and you ever put on the gloves. I remember the first time I used my own experience.
Uh-huh.
Those gloves, you said, those are kind of light, man. No big deal.
You get rocked.
And after you do about 2 rounds, you know, by the 3rd round, I remember, this is in a PE class, right? You're sitting there, you're do these roundhouses. Yeah, bring these roundhouses. I'm going to use this
as exhausting.
A club.
It is. It's hard. And the same thing is with our purses. It can be very exhausting after it has been
a
while.
The more that
sometimes.
We practice
Amen.
At it, the stronger we become. And
Amen.
The more, you know, and then all of a sudden, before we know it, we're actually just doing it, whether we realize it or not. And we're not worried about the pain or all the other stuff that the discomfort and everything that comes
mm-hmm.
with that. Discomfort could be how much time I spend with the Lord. I mean, that, you know, it's not convenient for me.
Oh, yeah.
I'll pray later in today. And that's what the enemy wants you to do because that'll never happen. You know, there'll be always something else that'll come up.
Always.
Okay?
Always. Anyway,
so persevere. So,
well, it kind of goes in the topic of being a shrewd Christian that thinks the steps we got to take to go ahead and be a shrewd Christian.
Now, when I hear the first time I heard shrewd, I never used to have
I thought it was
good,
bad. Okay, yeah, I did too.
I used to think of shrewd if somebody was really sneaky and you just, you know, coming around the corner and looking around to see that he doesn't see me, so I'm going to go ahead and do that. I'm shrewd.
Just like dark and mysterious.
Yes,
or
somebody that I can't trust. In a sense, right? And so that's what I thought shrewd means.
I did too.
So
did too.
What does the Bible, or not the Bible, what does it say in the dictionary somewhere about what shrewd
Well,
is?
The definition is having or showing a clever awareness or resourcefulness, especially in practical matters, or being astute or sharp with practical matters.
So when somebody says that you're shrewd,
that's a compliment.
That's
a very good compliment.
It mm-hmm. doesn't mean that all of a sudden like you're just disgusting. I can't trust you, and you're just, you know, the sneaky guy around there.
You revile
shrewd.
Me.
Yeah, because it sounds like it would be something.
Yeah, and what it is like discernment, wisdom, being sharp, as it says, with things, being able to make good decisions. wise decisions, yes. using things around you mm-hmm. to benefit you mm-hmm. in your life, in a sense.
It's like being a MacGyver.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Exactly like being a MacGyver.
Being able to say, hey, you know, I need to be able to open, you know, cut a hole into this wall, but I don't have any tools.
Yes.
How are you going to do that?
So he's going to find out what he has around him and use it.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
That's what being it is, and yeah. and it's important to be a shrewd Christian, the proper view of being shrewd.
So what made you think of this as a shrewd Christian? What how did you get to that place?
I came to this over the last couple weeks. Well, not only I read it, and then over the last couple weeks. I read in the last couple of weeks, and also with my interaction with other mm-hmm. People, I had people ask me how I got to the point of putting away certain things I did, whether it's sex or masturbation or it could be the steroids, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And my plain and simple answer was I didn't want to go to hell. Mm-hmm. So I did everything in my power to get away from it, to get rid of it. I used everything I had to do that. So the problem is as it says in verse. Well, let me just read it.
Yeah. How about let's do that? Yeah. Now where? Are
well,
you
I won't. This is Luke 16. I'm not going to read the whole parable, but
is
I'll
it
read
in Matthew.
No, it's not. But if you held a gun to my head, it might. I don't think it is. It could be. But this is the second end of verse 8 in Luke 16. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. So that kind of hit me with two parts. One, this can be applied to the sin. Are we taking every measure necessary to get rid of our sin? Are we being shrewd with the sin in our life? You know, I take, plucking out the eye, cutting off mm-hmm. the hand. I take that very literal up to the point of the actual plucking out the eye. But I don't go to a beach. I had my dad and stepmom ask me if I want to go to Hawaii. And I was like, I can't go. And they're like, why? I was like, well, I got a problem with lust, so I'm not even going to put myself in that situation. So I have to literally put everything away from me. I have to be shrewd in my lifestyle and where I go, what I do, so that I do not fall into sin. And then the second part with that is using, once we have repented, once we have put away all our sin, is doing the things in our life to build up riches for ourselves in heaven. So are we doing the evangelism? Are we putting away our activities to serve God, or are we doing more of our activities instead of God? So it's kind of it hit me kind of two ways. One was putting away the sin, and then once that's happened, what then are you doing to build yourself up riches? Because this parable was about a man who was about to be fired or let go, and he was trying to have a better life for him after that happened, because he didn't want to beg and he didn't want to work with his hands. So he's trying to build for himself a trust with the master's servants so that he could have a better lifestyle after this had taken place. So right. He took everything he could. He did everything that he possibly could to make sure he had a better life, in a sense, after he was fired. So are right. we doing the same thing? So I think the sin and getting rid of it and then working for the kingdom of God is all wrapped up in being in this parable and being a shrewd Christian. Hmm. So that's how I kind of came to this.
So then I think what would be appropriate is that we read a little bit of this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Go ahead.
You want me to? Okay.
Oh, yeah. You've got it right there in front of you.
I do. This is the New King James. So Luke 16. He also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an occasion was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, that they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, take your bill and sit down, quickly write 50. So he cut it in half there. Mm-hmm. Then he said to another, how much do you owe? So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. So if you could understand it through my slaughtering of that, but
I think you did fine with that. So in a sense, now, did this manager who was going to lose his job, he took it upon himself to go and
make it right. He went behind his master's back to make it right with the people that he would hopefully have an in with, almost in a sense, after he was fired, because those people didn't know what had taken place. They just thought he was a generous man. He thought he was doing them a good favor. So when he was fired, he could go back to him and say, hey, look, I helped you out, you know. Help me out a little bit right
now.
You made
half the money that you would normally make, but you still got it.
So, and what he did there is the point is he did everything he possibly could to secure his life, almost in a sense, after this
job. So what
job.
Happened to him?
I don't know.
What do you think happened to him?
I think what happened is how was said. He was shrewd, and so he probably had a better. He probably didn't beg, and he probably didn't have to work with his hands. He probably set himself up.
Did he get fired?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. He did get fired, and he set himself up for a good life afterwards by being shrewd with what he did. So, yeah, it doesn't say that, but that's what I'm taking from it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so the fact is that you're looking at this as that we need to be shrewd.
We do need to be in everything.
And what does that look like in the life today? I mean, we're talking, you know, this time here, this is when Jesus is walking the earth. And he gives the parable of the guy that's doing that sort of thing. So what does it look like in today's world that you and I live in, along with the guys who are listening? What is that being shrewd? What does that look like?
I would say I'll use it to addictions or anything like that. Let me put it this way. My wife was working yesterday, and someone came in, and she said she has never seen anyone ever as dedicated to quitting drinking. And this man, he went cold turkey after drinking, I don't know how many years, but he said he couldn't get into anywhere to drink.
So he sent him to the hospital?
Not to drink, to detox. And he was having seizures. He was going through crazy withdrawals, and he said, I am not going back. And I don't know if he was a Christian man or not, but my wife said she's never seen anyone like this in, as long as she's been doing her nursing thing. And the thing is he did everything he could to purge that from his life, because he is, from the sounds of it, he knew that if he went back, his life was going to be in ruins again.
Right.
And so his doctors were trying to convince, the doctor even told him, hey, you know, at this point, you're doing great harm to your body. Having a little alcohol will help your body. And he was reluctant to do it. So he is almost to the point, it sounds like, that he'd rather die than have another drink.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing everything he possibly can to, and so how you apply that is if you're in a house full of roommates and they're drinking, move out. Don't stay with them.
Mm-hmm.
Do everything that you possibly can. Quit, get new friends. Keep hanging out with those people that encourage you to drink or smoke or whatever it is.
So what you're really saying is that in any situation, no matter what it is, whether it's an addiction or even in a relationship that's not healthy, very dysfunctional, and that in some cases that you just remove yourself. Well, you use every means possible that you
at your disposal
to do that. But we have something that's very, very cool. But I want to talk about that after the break. Okay, that gives us an advantage than those who are not in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're gonna take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
If you're a man that is struggling with alcohol, drugs, pornography, money issues, gambling, there is hope for you. On Monday nights, we have Valiant Warriors, and I invite you to come and check this out. You will come to learn very quickly
that you're not alone in your challenge, that there's no judgment nor condemnation. A group of men who are willing to say, I need help. If you live in Whatcom County, come and check us out on Monday nights, every Monday night at 6 p.m. You will not regret it, because there is hope and you can break free. For more information, go to bandofbrothersforchrist.org and click on Valiant Warriors.
Every life is unique. Every life has a purpose. So when it comes time to remember the life of a loved one who has passed on, Cascade Monuments can help memorialize that special loved one through a personally designed monument. Cascade Monuments can engrave stones with the image of a person's face, majestic mountain scenes, sailboats, and more. Some monuments even contain built-in solar-powered video screens, and at the push of a button, a video montage will reveal the loved one's life. Learn more by visiting CascadeMonuments.com.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. We're talking about being shrewd as a Christian, and CJ had given some examples, and one of the things that before we went to the break, I said, you know, we have an advantage. We have an advantage of those of us, and I believe everyone who's listening right now is a follower of Jesus Christ. They've at one time in your life, you've given it all up to Him. Now maybe you're not even sure whether you gave it up completely. Well, then go ahead and do it again. It's okay.
Amen.
Okay? Today, I mean, you can start your day at any time of the day. You can start your day at any time of the day.
Amen.
You can start your day at any time of the day. You don't have to wait until tomorrow. Oh, I'll just start that tomorrow. No, how about let's start it right now. Boom.
Amen. Okay? Get a right heart right then.
Right now. And so as a result of that, what ends up taking place is that we end up this relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Because He is in us. The Holy Spirit is there in us. God the Father. We have a connection.
Amen.
Okay? So we can ask for His assistance, His help, because we need help. We can't
Amen.
Do it by ourselves.
Amen.
Okay? And in doing so, then we can come to Him humbly, okay, reverently, all knowing that God is going to be He's hopefully be listening to me, because I want to ask for forgiveness of any sin that I have in my life, because I don't want to have anything impeding my communication with the Lord.
Amen.
Right.
Well, the thing is I like the forgiveness thing, because if you're pleading with the Lord to take something away from you and you're not sorry for it, but you're just doing it so that you can have a better life or in a sense is so that you can just stop feeling the pain and anguish.
Yes.
Once again, you're going to continue to be in the pain and anguish until you repent. And that's, I think that is one of the biggest things that isn't talked about anymore is we'll talk about the love of God and His long suffering. And all this is true, but unless we repent first and we're actually sorry of what we have done, then what you're talking about, having the Holy Spirit in us, isn't going to do anything. Because unless you are truly sorry for what you have done, and then God looks at your heart and says, He is broken, He is crushed, He truly is tired of what is going on with Him and what He's doing. I will now give Him grace to overcome this, because He's pleading with me, and so I will help Him.
Well, here's the thing. God doesn't even have to hear our whole plea. He knows before we even speak it. He
Amen.
Knows what words we're going to use. He judges us by our hearts, so He knows.
Amen.
And you don't have to worry about whether you say it right or anything. He
Amen.
Knows.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, brother, I tell you what, just going to Him and asking for forgiveness, and as CJ had said, that I just turn. It's not only a physical turning away from the sin, it's a mindful and heartfelt moving
Amen.
It away from that.
Amen.
Okay,
just so people say, well, just to encourage them, the thief on the cross never asked for repentance in words.
Yes.
He just said, remember me. And,
yes.
But the Lord knew that his heart was right. So that's
exactly.
So just for those out there who.
And that's the beautiful thing about this relationship with Jesus Christ. we don't have to be explicit. We don't have to be able to pray like our pastor. We don't have to be able to
be eloquent.
Yes, yeah. It doesn't have to be a certain – you don't have to have a degree of any sort. Here's the degree you need to have. Total submissiveness.
A contrite heart. Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Complete submissiveness. And in doing so, the Lord is going to – he knows that. And so what he'll do is that he will give you the strength. He will give you the courage to walk through what it is that you need to. Amen. He'll give you the discernment. He'll give you the wisdom, okay? And he'll actually put people in your life to help you, to assist you. Those are your brothers in Christ who are there for you, not the ones that said, hey, come on over here. Ah, you can do that later on. No, those are the ones you used to call friends.
Amen.
They're not true friends because here you're dying, and they're sitting there saying, yeah, come on, just have another drink or just have another shot or whatever it is, okay?
You know, I said earlier because you're asking what brought me to think about this is because I told people I didn't want to go to hell. And everyone I usually say that to, they're like, well, aren't you Christian? I was like, well, yeah, but the list in Galatians, whether you think you can lose your salvation or not, regardless, it doesn't say anything about that. But it does say if you practice that list, that you don't inherit the kingdom of heaven. That's a nice way of saying you go to hell.
Yeah.
So for me, I don't look as if, oh, if I'm saved or not. I take that literal as if I don't care if I'm a Christian or not. If I practice what it says, and the lying, the covetousness, the adultery, the fornication, on and on and on. If I practice that in the middle of it and I die, I'm thinking I'm going to hell because that's what it says there. So regardless or not, if it says it, that's what I'm going on. And so I did everything I possibly could to get rid of the sin in my life. That means quit going to the gym, doing other stuff.
And part of what we need to just make sure we clarify. The last thing I want to do is ever assume that someone understands what we're talking about here. When he's talking about going to hell, when you hear that and read that, we're not talking about just a few days. He's going to hell, then he'll
That's
be back.
Eternity.
We're talking eternity.
Amen.
We're talking there is no end. It's continual, okay? The fact is that, and that is something that for ourselves that we need to, and the more and more that we seek God and his will for our lives, the more that he'll actually bless us in assuring not only that we'll be able to glorify him for eternity, but those around us would be able to have that opportunity too. Because you know what? There was a time in our lives that we didn't think that we deserved to have anything good
Amen.
Happen to us,
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
We never thought that we'd be in this position. Do you ever think that you'd be on a radio talking to whoever's listening throughout the world about God?
No, not even.
You know?
I couldn't even fathom it.
Yeah. So the simple fact is God knew that was going to be taking place
Amen.
And that would be happening. But here's this one up that we have is because of this relationship with Jesus Christ. We just have to make it right with him.
Amen.
And in doing so, he is going to give us all that we need. And you know what was really cool? Is that no matter what, he's never going to leave you. He's never going to leave you, no matter what. Even
Amen.
If you end up stumbling. Okay, he's not going to leave you. He's going to be right there. He's going to probably send somebody to try to assist, right?
Amen.
I love that joke about the guy who the flood's coming. His family is in the house. And he says, look, the water's rising. Everybody get up to the top floor. And oh, no, it's still coming. So they get up on the roof. And he prays and prays, Lord, send somebody, you know, or whatever, you know, for help. And
save me, yeah.
You know, and whatever. So the boat comes and takes his family, and he's still pleading to God, you know, send me. And eventually,
A helicopter comes, and he's like, well, if the Lord saved me, he's going to save me.
Yes.
And he eventually dies.
Yes.
And he's like, Lord, why didn't you save me? He said, I did. I sent a boat and a helicopter, and you didn't take it.
You know, it's just it, but
Amen.
That's the way that we are. We think it has to be a certain way. So that's why I never want to ever assume that somebody understands what I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. So and that's why I think this parable is so important because he did everything. He knew the life he was going to have if he didn't prepare himself for it. And so I think when we meditate on hell a little bit more. And we truly understand what's going on there, that it isn't just for a few minutes, it's for eternity. I think we tend to be much more not putting things off. We'll be much more shrewd in doing what we need to do today. If someone came up to you and was like, hey, Raul, this is back in your day. I'll give you $1,000 if you don't drink today. I bet you'd do it. If someone gave you $1,000 not to drink in that day.
For that day.
Oh, every yeah. And every yeah. day, if someone did it, I'll give you another $1,000 if you don't drink today. That you're not going to drink. I guarantee you, I wouldn't have been doing this stuff. If someone gave me $1,000 every day, I would have stopped everything I did.
That would be true.
To a certain point.
Alcoholism, you get to a certain place where your body needs it. And it's
well, like the guy that my wife came in contact. Yes, this is true.
But I understand what you're saying.
Yes, yes. So you will take the measures you need to do not to drink so you can get that $1,000. For that time period, or let's say it's lessing, you will close yourself up in a room to get that $1,000 so you're not lusting after another woman.
Yeah.
So how much more, I mean, and here's the thing is if you would do it for $1,000, that means you care more about money than you do God.
So
how much more should we do it for God so that we can go to heaven, we can build up riches for in heaven? So if God spoke to us today, said, hey, man, you need to quit doing this. You're going to be in hell if you keep doing this. We'd probably stop. But the problem is we get discouraged. We don't think that, you know, God is watching us sometimes. Mm-hmm. We don't think that, or we think that we're by ourselves in our walk or whatever it is. And so we get discouraged. And that's part of the walk, but we need to be shrewd and view it as building up the riches for ourselves in heaven. So,
wow, some good stuff. Where'd that come from?
I don't know.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to continue talking about this being shrewd. I want to know, are there any drawbacks for being a shrewd Christian? We'll discuss that a little bit and then kind of wrap things up. But in the meantime, we've got some sponsors that support this ministry. And we just want to be able to give them a little kudos by letting you hear about them. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
Football season. It's the perfect time to grill up some dogs, whether at a tailgate party or out on your back deck. And the perfect choice is a Hempler's Bun Buster hot dog. Or if you really want to impress your friends, grill up some Hempler's Hot Link sausages, or maybe some of their smoked sausage and cheese kielbasa, or smoked garlic sausage, or you've got to try their amazing double smoked sausages. Yum! Can't you almost taste them right now? Plus, the entire Hempler collection of smoked meats are gluten-free and they have no MSG. At Hempler's, they have a proud family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. Look for Hempler's Meats the next time you're at your local supermarket. For more information, visit Hemplers.com.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. CJ and Raul in the house. And this thing on being shrewd, I asked the question, is there anything bad about this?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Being
shrewd as a Christian.
I don't think if you are doing it with the wisdom from God is bad, but I think if you're doing it on your own wisdom, you can have... I guess it would be bad wisdom if it's your own wisdom, but you maybe think you're doing things shrewdly, but if it's you doing it and not the Lord doing it, then it's bad. I think we talked about a little bit during the break or something. If there's a problem at work or something, quitting your job without having maybe some finances to support you for a little bit,
or another job,
something would be a bad decision. And you're like, well, I just had to put away because I was going to kill my boss if I saw him one more time. Okay.
And we've all felt that way at certain times.
That may be true, but unless, I mean, that wouldn't be very wise or prudent of you if you quit that and you didn't have a backup plan in a sense. So I think if we use it on our own accord, it's bad. But I think if it comes from God, being a shrewd Christian, there's no way it can go wrong. I think we're called to be shrewd Christians, not only with our sin, but also advancing his kingdom. How many of us would rather be doing, I used to love rather working out than doing anything for God.
Yeah.
So, and even now, I still like going to, I love watching the movies.
Right.
If I get too much into that and not spend enough time in the Word, or if I'd rather go see a movie than go do Sunday school or something, then I'm not being very shrewd.
Right.
So I'm doing CJ and not anything for God. I'm not building myself up riches for God. You know, I tell people, some people say they just hope to get into heaven. I want to be the one that produces the hundredfold.
Yeah.
That's my goal, is producing the hundredfold.
And that's part of what ends up taking place here, part of this parable where he talks about that for those who do well with the little that I give them, okay, I'm going to give them more.
More. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where most people sit there and say, well, I've only been given a little, so I guess it doesn't mean much. Which takes you back to that other parable of the coins, right? Where, you know, where you sit there and you go, okay.
Well, the rest of this talks about the money in a sense, the rest of this. Yeah.
Yeah. And in a sense, what it comes down to is that the Lord, he tests us, okay?
Amen.
He doesn't tempt us, but he tests us.
Amen.
So can I trust Raul in doing this? I'm going to give him a little bit and see what takes place here. You know, I never expected for me to be doing what I'm doing here. We've already talked about that a little bit. We sit there and go, my goodness, you know, the Lord, I mean, he had his way.
Bless
and
it,
I went from there. I mean, all I wanted to do is do a men's Bible study at my home with other men that are like-minded in recovery and talk about the Bible and seeing how that all fits together. You know, it all fits.
You know, and I will say this. Let's say that did happen, let's say you go back and you're back in the same step again. I bet if you didn't take it serious or you just did it half-hearted, it wouldn't be where it – and the reason being is because you weren't responsible for what God gave you.
Right.
And that's and so if what he has given you, in a sense – whether it's money or ministry or whatever it is, if you're not responsible with your family, you're not going to be responsible with any kind of ministry or anything like that either.
So, and when the Lord brings, in this case here, he brought men to the Bible study, and then they invited other men that they felt, and God allowed that to take place.
Amen.
And they came and they heard, and their lives changed. As a result of that, they told other men, hey, got to check this out, you know.
And he gave you more responsibility.
Gave you more responsibility. Yep. Before you know it, you're sitting there and go, okay, you know, my house is not that big. You know, we got to move. We got to do something, right? So we try to split up and say, hey, guys, we got to do what the Bible says. You start your own little group so on and so forth. Yep. And we prayed about that. But these guys said, none of them said
it's
that.
Not the same,
it's not, we're not supposed to be doing that. One guy said, he said, I believe that we're supposed to be together. That's what I believe the Lord has laid on my heart during prayer. And I'm thinking, okay. So I took it to my mentor at that time and just said, and then the rest is history. Before we know it, we're at the church, and the church
it
just goes from there.
Yeah.
Now, the fact is, now this isn't boasting for Raul. This is boasting for the Lord.
Amen.
Hey, I was the guy that, believe me, I didn't speak very highly of God for a lot of my life, for a big part of it. I just said, hey, you're not coming through, and I'm not, you know, blah, 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 unless I was in trouble. Then I'd come to him. Help me out. Help me out here. I was really, forgive me. You know, I'm being kind of, you know.
I understand.
But the fact is that he still loved me. See, he had appointed us. And you who are listening, along with the guy who's sitting across from me right here, are appointed. And God has anointed you to not only receive what he says, but to put it into action, into works.
Amen.
Okay? And that's where what he gives us, what little bit he gives us, that's why we encourage each other. That's why we're encouraging you to continue on, to persevere, even through this mist. You're sitting there and saying, but my life is falling apart. Well, okay, well, let's stop and ask not only the Lord for help, but let's just submit to him and see if he puts something in our lives, maybe someone in our life. Not if you're having problems in relationships with women or with your wife, he's not going to put a woman in your life. I'm going to tell you that right now. That isn't what it is. You know, he's not going to say, hey, I want you, this one here is, it'll be better. No. That's not what it is.
Amen.
He wants you to seek him, okay? So that's why with other men, like-minded, you come together and you encourage each other.
And from that, the women, it's funny you say that because that's, oh, Lord, forgive me. That's what I did with my ex-wife. I was, Lord, please just give me another woman.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I appreciate your honesty because so often a lot of us aren't willing to say that sort of thing. You know, it's kind of like, I'm going to try on this pair of shoes. Oh, this is not fitting very good. So, they won't last very long. So I'm going to try on another pair. But that's not how this thing works.
And the thing is, I did end up seeking another woman and because of it, I suffered many things and still suffering many things from it. My kids.
The repercussion of sin, the consequences of sin, it goes on and on. You may be a better person today, but the
consequences last forever. Forever.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is it affects like my own kids. My oldest, it'll affect him later on when he goes to get a wife or something. Yes. He may think that, oh, my dad bounced around. So
go get a wife. As if you're gonna go shopping.
Oh, you know what I mean. You know, my dad did it, and then the problem is it's hard on my youngest one when he leaves. So the consequences are horrendous in a sense. But I think what it comes down to, as you're saying, it's not for a boasting for Raul. Same thing with me. God just put it on my man. I truly fear hell. I thank God for putting the fear of God in me abundantly because I really fear it. That's what drove me to stop everything and then truly to want to start to do something for him. Because once you have that salvation, I mean, you can't get more selfish if you don't care about anyone else, if you're not doing anything for anyone else, if you're not getting involved with the church. And I wasn't involved with the church. I just started going to our church maybe a year ago, but I didn't go to church for like 10 years before that. And it's because I didn't want to get involved. I didn't care about other people in a sense. I just wanted me. But then God was working on me, and he gave me a little bit. A band of brothers, so you started me out with setting up tables, and then it just kind of goes on. But the thing is he gives you a heart for it, and so then you start become more responsible with the manna in the sense that he gives you either true money or spiritual money that you can set away for riches in heaven. And I think how we get to that point is truly pleading with God in prayer. I think prayer is one of the most overlooked things. No, I don't think a lot of people actually set prayer aside. They say, oh, I pray all through the day, which is true. I think you should be doing that. But literally setting prayer aside a specific time slot and not more than 10 or 15 minutes. I mean, that's too long for some people, I guess. But it should be much longer than that.
Here's what takes place. Instead of just planning on doing a longer period of time, just do the time that you say you're doing.
What do you mean?
In other words, people who are saying, hey, I'm praying every day, just make sure that that's true. Just make sure you're praying every day. Because when you are praying every day, and if you get into the Word every day, you're going to change. The Lord's going to speak to you. You're going to end up desiring to have more time with Him. It's going to automatically take place, but you've got to get into doing it. If you're saying that you're praying every day, if you're into the Word every day, make sure that that's true, okay? Make sure that that's true. Don't just say it, okay? Because you know what? It's going to end up happening. The Lord's going to, I tell you what, you're going to desire more of Him. You're going to get to that place when you're actually in your walk with Christ, where you're not just doing it out of fear of going to hell. You're doing it for the love of Jesus.
Yeah,
and all
motivation.
Of a sudden, it is totally different. And it becomes that. And when it becomes that, then we start to look at ourselves as being in a new level of closeness with our God, that we're actually sitting there and just going, oh, yes, this is what it's about. Okay, that our love for Him and realize that, and we want to share that with others. But sometimes they're not going to hear it unless they, like it talks about, the wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is what? knowledge of God is the fear of God.
And that's what it comes is, and you're right. It doesn't, you won't necessarily always be in that state, but I loved it at first because that's what drove me to my knees.
And he reveals himself to you then. With many of us, that's usually what it is. And in some cases that has to come back up, especially if we get off track. And we start realizing, you know, you can't sit there and say, for the love of God, well, I don't know if I love him because I'm not being very obedient to him and so on and so forth. Well, I must not be any good. Well, think about what is in store for you then.
Amen.
Now you start thinking.
And I like the obedience. A lot of people think you're being too legalistic when you say that. But Jesus said, if you love me, you will do my commandments. You will obey my commandments. So a lot of people take that as legalistic. But Jesus was pretty legalistic in some of the stuff that he said, too.
It's just truth. It's just truth. It comes out of the Bible.
Hey, I want to read something about prayerlessness.
Prayerlessness?
Prayerlessness.
So less prayer.
Yes. I didn't think about that for a second. I was like, yeah, I think that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Prayerlessness is an insult to God. Every prayerless day is a statement by a helpless individual, I do not need God today. Failing to pray reflects idolatry, a trust in substitutes for God. We rely on our money instead of God's provision. We rest on our own flawed thinking rather than on God's perfect wisdom. We take charge of our lives rather than trusting in God. Prayerlessness shortcuts the working of God. Neglecting prayer, therefore, is not a weakness. It is a sinful choice.
Hmm.
So that's the kind of stuff I get greatly encouraged
by. Well, especially when you've been become aware of by somebody saying, how's your prayer life? Are you praying? You know?
Yeah, amen.
The first thing is that I'm going to tell a lie. You know?
Right? Yes, I am.
Yes,
8 hours
a
day.
And you turn back and ask their question. And you, how about you? How much time do you spend? You
know? I'll do what Jesus did. I'll ask you a question with the question, or answer a question with the question.
But but he has justified reason for doing it that way. Ours is to avoid completely having to answer the question, because now somebody's painting us or putting us in the corner. Right?
Amen.
And if we act like we used to in the past, we become a wild animal. And we don't care about who we hurt or what we hurt or destroy as a result of getting out of that corner.
Amen. And I think to be shrewd in the workings of God to advance his kingdom, prayer precedes everything and anything. If you could be the greatest evangelistic tool there is out there, but if there is no prayer preceding any of it, your work is of nothing, because you're telling God you're doing it on your own and you don't really need him. So prayer, you need it to show God that you need. God made us weak for a reason. We are weak people. We forget all the time. When one little thing goes, you could have a little itty bitty sliver on your toe, and you're on your knees trying to get the sliver out of your toe because you can't walk with it. So the same thing is with us. When one little thing sometimes goes wrong or astray in our life, we think we're being just beaten or we're crumbling, kind of like David did. One minute he has faith that can move mountains, and then he thinks that God has completely forsaken him. So.
Out of the book of Ephesians, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. So seek that. That's in the book of Ephesians chapter 5.
Relentlessly seek it.
There you go.
Relentlessly.
Well, let's be shrewd.
That's shrewd.
A good thing.
Amen. A shrewd Christian in our walk. Amen.
How about you pray for our brothers who are listening?
I will. Father, I ask that you do give us the grace to be shrewd Christians, Father, that you show us and reveal to us the sin in our life, that we can repent, and then afterwards that we can do things to honor you, to live for you, that we may put self aside, Father. So please bless and watch over the men out there who do have a heart of repentance, who do want to do your will. Please bless them and their walk this day, Lord. Allow them, give them grace to seek you and not self, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.